Does the Gemara ask v'umi karascha kami dekutshabrichu? When there are precedents in the Torah for God's anger. So the Tzlach gives the following explanation. He says, certainly, when the Gemara asked this question, it knew very well that God gets angry when we anger him. But how does Rabbi Yossi fit into this? Rabbi Yossi says that there's a pasuk, Ponai Yelechu Vani Chosi Lach, and that is a reference to the Ponim Shel Zam. In that particular context, after Moshe had already spoken and he had given his supplications, he had offered Divrei Ritzui, he was promised by Hashem Metzius Chen that he finds grace and favor in the eyes of God. Hashem's kas, as far as the eagle, was already quieted down, so to speak. So how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to him that he has to wait until Ad Sheyavar Panim Shel Zam? And the answer is, there must be a daily moment, which is kavua, set for Panim Shel Zam, even in a situation where the people of Israel did not anger God. And on that particular set period of time, the Gemara asks the question, where do we find that there's a set period of time on a daily basis? That God on a regular basis is angry. And the Gemara quotes a brisa based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Kel Zoem B'chol Yom. It doesn't mean that God really gets angry, but as we said earlier, this is a borrowed term. God's kas and chema is a term that applies in the human sphere as a human king, as a moment in which God's midas hadin, meeting out punishments as were, is activated. And that's what this pasuk is teaching us. And this pasuk in Sefer Tehillim indicates that God gets angry on a daily basis. Kel Zoem B'chol Yom. Why did the Gemara need to quote a brisa from that? The Gemara could have just simply quoted the pasuk itself. And the Gemara could have answered in, yes, Dechsiv, Kel Zoem. But instead, the Gemara says Disanya, and we quote a brisa. So in the Sefer En Yaakov, he says that from the pasuk itself, we would have no proof. It would be possible to interpret the pasuk just the way the Radak interprets it in his commentary on Tanakh, that the intention of this pasuk is that God judges both a tzaddik and a rasha on a regular basis. And when it says kel zo'em on a regular basis, b'chol yom, what it's referring to is, if a person is a rasha and he doesn't do tshuva, God gets angry at him. But that's in the context of judgment. But the brisa asks the question of a kamazamo, and that indicates that there is a set time period on a daily basis when Hashem gets angry. And therefore, the brisa is the basis for our conclusion that there's this set period of time. Now you might ask, why do we need the brisa? Well, why does the brisa itself need a pasuk in Tehillim when there are so many psukim in Tanakh that indicate that God gets angry, like we saw and we mentioned the Misonim Vayishma Hashem Vayichar Apo at the Sne, it says Vayichar Af Hashem B'Moshe. So that's what we mentioned, and we want to reiterate it in the name of the Tzlach, that the Gemara is asking about Zman Kavua. All the other psukim in Tanakh that indicate that there are moments of anger or midas hadin, that is a response to something that happened at that particular moment in time. But we still haven't established that there's a Zman Kavua, set time on a daily basis, and for that the brisa needs this pasuk in Tehillim. Now it could be that this concept, that Hakel Zoem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis has a Zman Kavua, is really midas hachesed. Why? Because This is a very short split second, a fraction of a second, and after it passes, then the Zav passes, and then, as the Pasuk says elsewhere, Chesed Kel Kol Hayom, during the entire balance of the day, God is in a mode of Chesed. But from the Pesukim of the Torah, we would never be able to answer the question, how do we prove that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kois on a regular basis at Zman Kavu of Zam daily? Now, how short of a time period is this? This is the Rega that's indicated in the Pasuk in Shmos Lamed Gimel, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Emoral Bnei Yisrael, Atem Am Kshei Oref, Rega Echad Ale Bekirbucha Vechilisicha. And check out the Rashi there in Shmos Lamed Gimel Pasuk Hey. In the Machlokes Korach, the Adoso, it says, Vachale Osam Rega. So there are many psukim which indicate that there's a Rega. And in these psukim, the lashon of cloy of destruction is used because HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shas rogzo is telling the Satan or the Malachim or the Malachi Chabola Kalem, as we'll see. Now, what exactly is this period of time that's delineated here? It's 1/58,888 parts of an hour. Now, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet has a slightly different girsa, which makes it into 1/53,848 parts of an hour. In any event, it's certainly a very, very short period of time. V'ein kol birya yecholah lechaven. And no creature could know exactly when that moment is, or that fraction of a moment, also shah. Chutz mi Bilam Arasha. This was the special uncanny sorcery, the power of Bilam, that evil person was able to be mechavi that particular split fraction of a second of Rega, and he would try to curse the people of Israel at that moment. And that's why the Chsiv Bei, the Torah describes Bilam as V'yodea Das Elyon, that he knew exactly how to be mechavi that Shah. And again, quoting the Tzlach, he says that although the Zam itself is a small rega, short rega, but there is a Shah Shleim, a complete hour, Sheroi Lios Bar Rega Shal Zam. And that Shah, that full hour, is when the Malachi, Mizrach, and Mairov bow down to the Shemesh, as the Gemara is going to explain shortly. And that Shah is called the Shas Zam. But within the Shas Zam, there's a Rega Shal Zam, a shorter period of time. And that Rega of Zam was a very powerful Rega, which Bilam knew how to be Mechavin. And the Rega of Zam, according to one school of thought, was something that although Bilam wasn't able to be mechavin, but he had a koch to be mechavin the shah, the entire hour, within which there's that rega. And somehow he would be able to give his klola, spell out his klola in a spell that would cover that entire hour with that rega inside the hour. And that's when the mekatreg, the prosecutor up in Shamayim, would prosecute. Hashta das behemta lo yada. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Bilam was on such a low level in terms of his intelligence, he couldn't even understand his own animal. And das elyon aviyada, and you tell me he knew and he was aware of the higher will of God. Bilam didn't know what his animal was doing and was ready to respond to him. So that when Bilam went to Balak, and he was called upon by Balak to curse the Jewish people, and he sees the Sari Moav and so forth, and Bilam is riding on his donkey, and he says, Amu lo hasarim, they said to him, wait a minute, why aren't you riding on a horse like most people do? And Yado tagia el Balak b'mehera, if you want to get to Balak in a faster speed, you know, take a speedy train, then why don't you take a sus? And here's where Balak says that he had a relationship with this Ason. This Ason was his trusty donkey, and a sus, you know, will go this way, will go that way, sometimes stops to graze and to eat and so forth and so on. It's not always ready for riding. Now, at this point, his ason opens up her mouth and she says, "Halo anochi asoncha," etc. And this all you'll see in Bamidbar Chaf Beis in the parasha of Korach, meaning that I am your trusty ason. You've always used me, and Bilam responds and he says, "Wait a minute! I use you for many different things, but I don't ride upon you." And then the Ason says, "Asher rechavta alai," that you were ragil to ride upon me. And Bilam responds that bederech mikra, only by chance, accidentally, I ride upon you. And then the Ason responds, "Me'od chavano yom azeh," meaning me'azu mitamid, you were always riding on me. So there's a communication back and forth, and Bilam doesn't understand what's going on. He's not really chapping what the Ason is telling him. So if Bilam doesn't understand the responses of his animal, then for surely he doesn't understand the Das Elyon. Now the Pasuk says, V'yodea Das Elyon, and it testifies to the fact that Bilam did know the Das Elyon. So we at the end of the day have to ask ourselves, so why didn't Bilam Taka know the Das of his behemoth? But the answer must be that the Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew B'nevuah, and that was a special prophecy that was given to him, but he was never given a prophecy with regard to the Das of his behemoth. And there is no such thing as prophecy with regard to the Das of his behemoth, and therefore he never really was able to link in to the thinking of his animal. And the Gemara goes on to say, he was able to figure out when God is going to be angry, and then he would be Makal Klal Yisrael. V'ayinu di'amar lahu Navi li'Yisrael. This is what Micha Navi says to Bnei Yisrael when he mentions all the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have bestowed upon Klal Yisrael. Micha was the Navi that gave Tochacha to Klal Yisrael, and he would enumerate all the greats, all the goods that God, benevolence, gave to Klal Yisrael, and why is it that you people don't acknowledge the gratitude that you have to have? Ami, Zecharna, amongst the various enumerated gifts of God to Klal Yisrael, remember my Yotz Bolak Melech Boav, Uma Onel Oso Bilam Ben Biar Menashitim, Ana Gilgal, Leman Das Sidkos Hashem. And the Gemara is going to clarify what exactly Micha had in mind. What does it mean, my leman das sidkos Hashem? The Gemara tells us that Omer Rabbi Lazar, Omer lema kodesh baruch li Yisrael, de'u kam et sidkos ha-sisi, imachem shlo ka'asti bimei Bilam ha-rosh, that God took his period of zam and he put it into deep freeze. Il mole ka'asti, if I would have gotten angry at the shas zam during that period of Bilam, then lo nishtayr misonation, so name shall Yisrael, sorry to polit, the entire nation of Israel would have chas shalom been completely wiped out through the power of the kilas Bilam. So know what a great benevolence God has bestowed upon you. And even if Bnei Yisrael are guilty of sins, they had violated sins in a place called Shittim, which is Baal Pa'ar, where they were involved in immorality and idolatry, nevertheless, God didn't forsake them. He brought them into the land of Israel. And it's only at Gilgal, Shehipil Lifneim Es Oyveim, that finally God gave the enemies of the Jewish people into the hands of the Jewish people. These are amongst the great tovos that God bestowed upon the people of Israel. And you should recognize them. And you should appreciate Hashem and act in turn. Bilam was very proud of the fact that he was a Yodea Das Elyon. V'hainu deka amrle, Bilam lebolak, this is what Bilam boasts about to Bolak, ma ekov lo kabo el, uma ezam lo zam Hashem. What he means is that melamed shekol osam ayom lo zam. He says that the reason why Bilam says I failed in my project, in my agenda to curse Klal Yisrael, is because Hashem blocked my way. And he didn't allow himself to have this daily kas, so that even though Bilam defines himself and boasts about it being a Yodea Das Elyon, but nevertheless he was not able to curse Hashem, but that's not because of Bilam's in lack of aptitude, but rather because HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not let him do so. Now Tosus, Divra Maskel Umole, V'yimtomar Ma Hoya Yochel Lomar B'Shas Rega. In other words, if the Zam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only a Rega, how would it be possible that Bilam could be mechaving that Shah, that 1/5800th of a second? And he answers that Berega Mu'ad Zeh Yochel Lomar Es Tevas Kalem, that all he had to do was say the one word Kalem, which means destroy them. And that takes a fraction of a second. Furthermore, Tosus answers that Bilam would be able to begin his klola at that moment, at that rega. And once he begins the klola, then since he was able to synchronize that klola with the beginning of Shasam, then the klola would be very powerful and destructive even beyond that zam. And Tosus in Masecht Avodah Zarah gives the answer that Kavanas Bilam was to be Marech his Klola, to give a long, long Klola, and that would overlap with the Shas Zam. And we've already mentioned that Tzlach, who says that besides the Rega Zam, there's also Shah Shlema, and he was able to cover that entire Shah, and B'meshach Shah Zu Re'uya HaKlola Lachul. The Kama Zamo Rega, the Kama Rega Omer Rabbi Ovin V'Itema Rabbi Avina Rega Kimemre, which means that the shear of that Zman called Rega is Kimemre, which means the time that it takes to say the word Rega. And again, even though we've said that the shear of a Rega is 1/58,000, etc., etc., the Gemara wants to clarify, how could Bilam recite and pronounce that klola during that rega at such a short period of time? And the Gemara's answer is, if it's the sheer zman that it takes to enunciate the word rega, then Bilam would say the word kalem during that rega, that short period of time. Uminolan de rega rosach, what's the source for the conclusion that the anger of God is rega, the time it takes to say the word rega? And the Gemara answers, the Pasuk says, in Tilim Lamed, Shenemar, ki rega biapo chayim bertzono, that rega echad is apo, is the anger of God. V'iboy same, another possibility is mehocha, a Pasuk in Yeshaya Novi, lech ami, bo v'chaderecha, skor delasecha badecha, chavi kimat rega, ad yavor zam. Which means that after a rega, that's when the zam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes. So chavi is the lashon of machbo. Mistar means hide yourself. You have to hide yourself during the shir of a rega muat until ad sheyavor zam. Now, after we've clarified the psukim that there's a rega of HaKadosh Baruch that he gets angry, the Gemara clarifies, when is that rega? V'emas rosach, when does God get angry? Amar Abaye, v'hanach tlas shoy kamaisis, some rega during the three first hours of the day. And the Gemara goes on to quote another statement here, which gives us a simon for that rega of kas. And that is ki chivara karbolata de tarnagolas v'koi echad kara. When the karbolas of the tarnagolas, that part of the tarnagolas under its neck, becomes white and it's no longer so red, at that moment the tarnagolas is able to stand on one foot. So the Gemara asks, kol shaita v'shaita nami koi hochi. After all, the tarnagolas stands on one foot any hour of the day. And the color of the carboloso is always inclined towards white. So why does Abai say that this happens only one rega per day out of the first 3 hours of the morning? And the Gemara answers, kol shata isbe shurike sumke. During all the course of the day, even if the color of the carboles is inclined towards white, but nevertheless it still has lines that are very dark red. But Bahi Shaita, that moment of time when God gets angry, lesbe shuryake sumke. There is no redness at all in the karbolas. So we learn a little bit more about the crown of a rooster. In any event, there's a question here that's asked about Bilam. He was a yachid who knew how to be mechavin the shas zam. And that is without even looking at the karbolas, at this, this crown of the rooster. Other people didn't know exactly how to be mechavin the shah of zam. They didn't know also about the karbolas and how to investigate the karbolas. So Bilam saw many times that during the shas zam, the tarangolas was standing on one foot, and the rooster had this crown, this karbolas, and it would turn white without any of those red lines that we described before. So this was the ability of Bilam. And by he shaita, at that moment when God got angry, would get angry, lespe shuke sumke. Now the Gemara tells us a story in this context, how who tztoki, the tztokim were the Sadducees who denied Torah Shebal Peh, they gave Klal Yisrael a lot of trouble during those periods of history, Dahavi b'shivi vusa, and he was living in a certain area, a neighborhood of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lived, Havi komitzar le tuva b'kroi. And he would always have arguments against Rabbi Yeshua by quoting Psukim. Yom Achad, on one day, Shokal Tarnagola v'okme ben kare di arsa. He took, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi took a rooster and he tied it up between the legs of the bed. The ayin bo, and he starts looking at it. Sovar, he thought, ki mata hi shaita alte. When I see the moment that the karboles of the rooster turns white, I will curse this tzduki. I will be able to be mechavin to the shas zam of God's anger, and then the klola will be meaningful. Ki mata hi shaita. But unfortunately, when that moment came around, of halbonas hakarboles nayim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi fell asleep, so he wasn't able to be mekalel this stuki. And when he woke up and he realized this, Omar, he declared, "Shmamina lav orach ara lemevanochi." This is not the way. This is not the meat of Derech Eretz to do such a thing, to try to be mechavin the shav zamo shal kodesh bochu. And he quoted the pasuk v'rachmav al kol masov that we say in Tehillim, Kuf Mem Hey, and Tehillah David in Ashrei Uksiv, and it says further in Mishle, "Gam anosh letzadik lo tov." And it's not right for a tzaddik to punish other people. So his endeavor to get rid of this stuki did not meet with success. Okay, now some of the mefarshim, based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, will distinguish between the tzibur and the yochid. And when it says kel zoeim b'chol yom, that's a reference to the tzibur. And it means that there's a great schus for the tzibur, and despite the shas zam, the tzibur is able to survive this. And if we go back to the pasuk in Tehillim for a moment that we quoted earlier, it says Elokim shofet tzadik ve'el zoeh b'chol yom. And as far as the yachid is concerned, the pasuk in Nachum in Tanakh says lifnei zamo mi ya'amod. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not zoim alav, because if God would get angry at the yachid during his shas kas, it would be impossible for that yachid to survive. And based on this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Mefarshim ask, how could Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi have expected to curse the yachid, this individual tztuki b'shas zam? And the Rasha in Avodah Zarah has a long discussion about this. We'll leave the question unanswered for now. Now, Rashi in Avodah Zarah says that it's not miderech ha'olam to punish b'nei Adam, as we derive from the pasuk gam enosh litzadik lo tov, gam enosh litzadik lo tov. And the reason for that is because there was some tzaddikim that cursed the Rishoyim, but yet that wasn't the Derech Eretz. to be mechavin the shas kaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reason why it's not appropriate to do such a thing is because if he can be mechavin the shas kas in order to set up a klola, then let HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the evildoers. It's not appropriate for man to take the reins and generate punishments. Tanam bishmei the Rabbi Meir b'shosh achamas orachas, when the sun rises v'chol malche umas olam b'mizrach u'marav manichim kisoseh v'rashay mishtachim l'chama miyad koes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the moment that we recite Kriyat Shema, in contrast to the malachim who are idol worshippers. At that moment of zricha of hanetz, we are going to recite Kriyat Shema and declare the unity and our commitment to one God. The Gemara now quotes another member of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yossi Tova, Mardus Achas Belibo Shel Adam, and the word Mardus here translates into the Hebrew as Hachna'ah, and it's great when a person submits himself and subjugates himself to Almighty in his heart, and he awakens himself to do tshuva. That's even greater Yoser Mikama Malkios than all the punishments that we meet out and we give him all the Malkios. Shenemar, it says regarding Klal Yisrael in Hosea, Viridfa Esma Veha Velo Tasigosam Uvakashasam Velo Uvikshasam Velo Simotse. The Amra, at the end of this pasuk, the Navi says that Ashuva Elcha Vashuva El Ishi Arishon Kitovli Oz Me'ata. In other words, at the beginning, Tirdof Achar Mazolos Marochas Hashamayim. She runs after the astrological beings and she thinks that they are the ones who are giving good. And then when she sees that there's nothing coming down from Shemayim, from these celestial spheres, then she'll begin to focus on tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's called Ishi Arishon. She'll begin to understand that what is best is that she serve Hashem, and Knesset Yisrael, who suffered as punishment for her sins many, many times, the punishments really didn't help her. Because ultimately, she, Knesset Yisrael, has to return in tshuva to be machnias atzma when she declares Elcha Vashuva El Ishi Arishon. So all the mardus and all the makos did not accomplish what genuine tshuva in the heart of man can accomplish. Reish Lakish Amar. Reish Lakish gives another opinion here. And he says that Mardus Achas Beliba Shalom Tova Yosemi Mea Malkios, from hundreds of Malkios, Shenemar, he has a Pasuk in Mishle, Techas Geora Vimevin Meyakos Ksil Mea. Dachna, when a person bows and lowers himself because of the Gara, that he's goer biatzmo, it's self-inflicted. When he realizes he's got to do tshuva and he's veered off the path, it's better for a person than mea makos, than 100 makos ksil mea shemake es haksil. If a person is not willing to do tshuva, 100 makos and more are not going to help. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi Shlosha Dvarim Bikesh Moshe Milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were three things that God was asked by Moshe Rabbeinu v'nasan lo, and God responded Vayom Hashem al Moshe Gamis Ador Vezesh Dibarto Ese Ki Matzosa Chen B'Einai V'Edacho B'Shem. What were these three requests of Moshe? Number one, Bikesh Tishrei Shechina al Yisrael v'nasan lo. This request of Shechina and Yisrael was granted to Moshe Nemar there in Parshas Ki Tiso Bamei Vada Efo Ki Matzasi Chem Beinecha Nive Amecha Halo Belechtecha Imanu. Moshe asks that there should be a Metzius Chen of Klal Yisrael. They should find favor in the eyes of the Almighty, and God would accompany them with the Shechina. Bikesh Lo Tishrei Shechina Lovdei kochavim, but the Shekhinah should never rest on the idol worshippers. V'nasanlo, he's granted this because shenemar v'niflinu ani ve'amcha, that we are different, we are separate from all the other umos. The Shekhinah is shara on us, but not on them. Bikech lo diao drachov shalakadosh baruch hu, his third request that God will teach him the ways of mishpat, the ways of divine judgment. V'nasanlo, and God acquiesced. Shenemar, as it says, V'atoim nam atzasi chen beinecha, hodieni nas drachecha, v'idachalam anemtzal chen beinecha. Amal, the fun of Moshe said in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, mivnei ma yesh tzadik v'tov lo v'yesh tzadik v'ra lo. The question of theodicy. Yesh rasha v'tov lo v'yesh rasha v'ra lo. Amal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Moshe answers, God answers Moshe, tzadik v'tov lo is in the case of a tzaddik ben tzaddik, but tzaddik v'ralo is in a case of a tzaddik ben rasha. And somehow the son who's a tzaddik will suffer because of his father's iniquities. Rasha v'tovlo is rasha ben tzaddik. Somehow the schus of his father who's a tzaddik protects him from evil, but rasha v'ralo, that's a rasha ben rasha. And the Gemara now is going to raise all sorts of objections and questions against this categorization that we had before, the difference between tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik v'ralo, and the Gemara tries to clarify what really was the response of HaKadosh Baruch to Moshe's question. Omar Mar, we had before the words of Rabbi Yossi, who interpreted the response of HaKadosh Baruch in the following way. Tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik ben tzaddik, tzaddik v'ralo, tzaddik ben rasha. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Eini, is this really so? Vaksiv, it says in Parshas Kitisa, Poked Avon Avos Al Banim, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the children for the iniquities of their fathers. V'pasuk Acher, another pasuk Siv, U'banim Lo Yumsu Al Avos, that you will not punish the sons for the sins of their fathers. V'raminun Kray Adodi, and we set up a reminu, a stira between these two psukim, Mashaninan, and we reconcile them, Lokasha, Ha, the pasuk that says that the children will suffer from their father's sins, Kisha Oksim, Maise, Avoseim, Bietchem, they continue in the ways of their fathers. And therefore they should have learned from their fathers, but they didn't. And they'll be punished now with an additional pekala, so to speak, a weight of the sins of their fathers. V'ha, but the pasuk that says, Lo yumsu avos al banim, kishe ein oksim mais avoseim biyadim. They have completely alienated, distanced themselves from the ways of their father, evil ways. They will not be punished for the ways of their fathers. And some say they'll get even extra schar because they departed from the evil ways of their fathers. So how do we understand Rabbi Yossi's statement that a tzaddik ben rasha is going to, what was the answer here, that tzaddik v'ralo is a tzaddik ben rasha if he departs from the ways of his father? Why would he suffer because of his father's sins? Elohachi kamar, let's reinterpret the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in response to Moshe's request. Tzaddik v'tovlo is a tzaddik gamur. He doesn't have any sins to be punished for. Tzaddik v'ralo is a tzaddik she'eno gamur, and therefore he has mir avonos. He will suffer in this world in order to purify himself, and God with cathartically will purify him from all the sins that he was guilty of. Rasha v'tovlo, rasha she'eno gamur. So God will give him schar in this world for the miut zchuyos that he does have, so that in olam haba he'll have nothing to claim and no rewards for it. Rasha v'ralo, who rasha gomor. He has no redeeming value at all. Perhaps in the case of a tzaddik who has some element of evil, he's not a tzaddik gomor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to bestow upon him too much wealth and pleasures in this world because it might go to his head, v'ram levavcha. So God prevents or distances him from Osher. In the case of a Rasha, if it's a Rasha Sheino Gomur, he wants his Kavod, so maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him some Osher, and that'll be mashpi on him, that if he sees that because of his good deeds he gets some sort of restitution, some sort of reward, then maybe he'll do tshuva. The Gemara goes on to tell us Pliga de Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Yossi, who said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe a response to all his questions. That's against Rabbi Meir. Dami Rabbi Meir, Shtayim Nosnalo, that out of the three requests, God only responded to two out of the three. Tiyomar Rabbi Meir, Shtayim Nisono V'Achas Lo Nisonalo, and which was the one that God didn't respond to. So we take a look at the pasuk and it says Shenemar V'Chanosi Es Asherachon, which means I will give chen to those who I want to give chen to, afal pishenu hagun, even if he's not worthy of chen, of divine favor. V'richanti es asher rachem, afal pishenu hagun, I will sometimes give compassion to someone who's not worthy. And sometimes this is rachmei shemayim lefi shah, even if a person is not roy, al pidin. So there really is no set, clear way of understanding the divine response and when God meets out punishment and people suffer, when he decides to respond with rachamim. There's no real system here that we can understand. And in the eyes of man, it looks like that God is giving gifts to Rishayim that don't deserve it. And even so, even though that's how it looks to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nevertheless merachem, and we don't understand the midas ha-din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was never given to human understanding. That's the shita of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara now clarifies an additional pasuk. It says, Vayomer lo sucha liros es panai, God says to Moshe, you will not be able to see my face, my countenance. Even though Moshe had asked, Haredi noas kvodecha, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had an eis ratzon. He thought that now is the moment he can ask to really see a vision, an understanding of God. And God responds, lo tuchal liros es panai, ki lo yirani ha'odom v'chai. So instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mavir tuva al pnei Moshe, but yet Moshe cannot see, he cannot behold the countenance of God. Tanu Mishmei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. We have a brice in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Kach omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. Kishratzisi lo ratzisa. Achshav shanta rotze, eini rotze. When I wanted to show you my countenance and reveal to you at the snare, you didn't want to look at the snare. And now, all of a sudden, you want to see my kavod. I'm not in the mood to show it to you. So when you wanted, when I wanted, you didn't want, but now that you want, I don't want. Now it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a kind of a negative pejorative punishment here for Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, that he didn't want to look. As the Pasuk says, Vayaster Moshe Panov Ki Oremi Abit Elokim. But why does he deserve punishment for that? I mean, this is the midah of humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash tells us, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, that lo asa Moshe Yofa, that this was not the right moment for humility to be shehistir's part of. Because had Moshe Rabbeinu taken a look, then Hashem would have revealed to him what's up and what's down, mashahoyu mashahasid, the past and the present and the future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Moshe Rabbeinu was lo sucha liros es panai. It's a punishment to Moshe because Moshe didn't want to see and behold the countenance of Hashem at the time of the snare, when Hashem wanted to reveal his countenance to Moshe. The Marsha says at the end of the pasuk, it says ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, that man as a human mortal finite being cannot behold Hashem. So how could Moshe have possibly seen the Pnei Hashem, even if he would wanted to, at the snare? And the Marsha's answer is very cryptic. He says that this pasuk, the end of the pasuk, when it says Ki lo yirani odom v'chai, is not an explanation as to why Moshe couldn't see the face of God, but rather Moshe was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I don't want to show you or show man my face, my countenance, so that he could live. Because even if you have a great milah, and you are the superior Navi of all the Nevi'im, But nevertheless, at the moment that I wanted to reveal my face to you, you didn't want. And therefore, we go back to the general rule, Lo Yirani Odom V'chai. You were meant to be the only exception to Lo Yirani Odom V'chai, but you lost your opportunity, you forfeit that right. The Gemara now brings Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, who says that Moshe did not do the right thing by turning away from the Sneh. And he argues against Rabbi Yonasan, who says that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the contrary, would receive schar, he would be duly rewarded for looking away, ki yori mehabit el Elokim. Pliga de Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Omer Rabbi Yonasan, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is against the sheet of Rabbi Yonasan, the Omer Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Omer Rabbi Yonasan, b'schar sholosh, in the merit of three great things, Zochel Shalosh Moshe Rabbeinu received three great rewards. B'schar v'yaster Moshe panav, at the snare he wouldn't look at God, he hid his face. Zochel klaster panim, that his face would be hidden and he would have the karen or panav that would be covered and concealed. That radiance of the countenance of Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact a gift or a reward. Vayhi beredes Moshe mi'ar Sinai shnei luchos ha'edus biyad Moshe beredeto minahar. Moshe lo yada ki karan or panob dabro ito. Moshe comes down from Ar Sinai. He's bringing the second set of luchos on Yom Kippur. And there was an aura, a light that radiated from his countenance. And Moshe Rabbeinu is zocha to these karnei hod, these so beautiful, radiant of glory, the glorious radiance of the hod. And this was all a reward because Moshe did not look at Hashem at the sneh. B'schar ki yore, that Moshe was afraid to look at the face of God at the sneh. Zocha le vayar Aaron v'chol bnei Yisrael es Moshe v'nei Koran or pona v'yiru migeshes elov, that when Moshe comes down from the mountain, people are afraid to come close to him. They were afraid because of his great Milo, his high, very, very high level. The Marsha asks, well, wait a minute, the Yira Migeshes Elov was because the cluster Ponim. So basically, you're just repeating the same gift as the first gift. And the Ben Yoyoda responds to the Marsha's Kash, and he says the Schar of cluster Ponim could have been on a lower level, and it wouldn't have caused people to be afraid of him. But the Schar of Kiyore was the reward that in addition Moshe got the Karnei Hod on such a high level that people were afraid to come close to him. And finally, the number three, B'schar Me'abit, that Moshe didn't want to look, Zocha Le'usmunas Hashem Yabit, the pasuk that describes when Miriam and Moshe spoke a little bit of Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he wasn't right to be parted from his wife. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and he says, how can you not be afraid to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu? His Mila is greater than all the other Nevi'im. Utmunas Hashem Yabit. He is able to perceive the vision of God. Now, these three pa'ulos of Moshe Rabbeinu, Astaras Ponim, Yira, and Himanus Milahabit, are all three separate things in the eyes of the Gemara, and each one generated its own reward. But why is that so? L'chora, Kiyare Me'abit is explaining why Moshe Rabbeinu covered his face. It's not a separate pa'ula. But the answer is that it should have said in the pasuk Vayaster Moshe Einov Kiyare Me'abit, which means that the habata would relate to his einayim, but not to his ponim. And also, it should have said in the pasuk Kiyare La'abit, with a lamed. But it seems that the pasuk here is indicating three separate independent things. There's Astaras Ponim, which means that he was master of the Tsuras HaAdam. This was a great humility on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Moshe and he sees his humility. Number two, Yare, means he had what's called Yiras HaRoimus. And that created another Astaras Ponim. And therefore he was zocher, the people were afraid to come close to him. And then when it says me'abit einayim, it's an additional hester that he even closed his eyes and he got the schar of tmunas Hashem yabit. Now the Gemara darshins another pasuk about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was zochet to see the picture, so to speak, the vision of Almighty God. It says in the pasuk in Shmos Lamed Gilvas, Hirosi es kapi, veraisi es achorai. What does it mean when God says that you will see my back? Omar Rav Chana Bar Bizna Omar Rav Shimon Chasida Melami Cheherak Kodesh Baruch Moshe Kesher Shel Tefillin. He saw the Kesher on the back of the Tefillin Shel Rosh, which is Me'achorai, and that's what it means. The Ra'isa Es Achorai. And we already mentioned earlier on Daf Vav that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Tefillin. The Rashba says that Kodesh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Tzuras Hakesher of Hanochas Tefillin. And he revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, demonstrated how exactly you should be mekayim the kiyum of mitzvahs tefillin. There should be reyes einayim. And just like in the Ma'aseh HaMishkan, God shows Moshe Rabbeinu kechol hashini mirarzcha as tavnis HaMishkan. He shows him the different kelim. Here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him the kesher shel tefillin. And this kesher shel tefillin is called Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. God himself personally showed Moshe the kesher shel tefillin. And when the Gemara says earlier that the Tefillin Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu have within him the Parshas, the Batim, Shvachan Shel Yisrael, then it would seem that when Rav Shimon Chasida says Malamich HaKadosh Baruch Hu Herol Moshe Kesh Shel Tefillin, it means he showed Moshe Rabbeinu how the people of Israel are Kshurim Udvukim Bashem, like the Dmus of Tefillin with the Kesher, that are Kshuros and Dvukos Begufo Shel Tefillin, the Nishmosem, Shel Yisrael, Kshuros and Dvukos Bashem, in the Shalheves of Kshuro Begacheles. The Gemara goes on to tell us that Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi, again, the same order of tradition, transmission, called Dibur V'Dibur Shiyotza Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tova. Everything that God said for good, any promise, divine promise, afilo tonight, even if he adds a condition, lo chazer bo, God would never rescind. He's always committed to fulfill that goodness. Mi nolan, how do we know this? Mi Moshe Rabbeinu Shenemar. Heref mi meni, vash mi deim ve'emcha, eshma mi tachas hashamayim, v'yaseh oscha, l'goig atzum v'rov mi menu. That your tzetzoyim will be so manifold, Moshe Rabbeinu, more than 600,000, which is the minion of Klal Yisrael at the time that this Havtocha would said, and you will be a goy atzum v'rav mimenu. The afal gav deba Moshe Rachmi alei demilsu batli, even though Moshe Rabbeinu supplicated before God and he requested that God be mevatel this gzerah to destroy Klal Yisrael and set up a nation for Moshe. So the onish was completely nulled and void by the tefillah of Moshe, afilu achi okme bezaro. Nevertheless, this promise would be fulfilled with the zer of Moshe. And where do we see in the psukim that this promise to Moshe, the zaro shel Moshe, would be so manifold, was fulfilled? Shenemar, it says in Divrei Hayomim, b'nei Moshe, Gershon v'Eliezer, vayu b'nei Eliezer, Rechavya, Harosh, uv'nei Rechavya, Rabu l'malo. So we have here the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, the child of Eliezer is called Rechavya, and the children from Rechavya, Rabu Milamala. And we learn from this pasuk that the Bnei Rechavya, the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, was Rabu Milamala, Vitani Rav Yossi. What does it mean, Lamala? Above what? Above what number? The Torah doesn't say, the Tanakh. Lamala Mishishim Ribu, more than 600,000. And where do we see this? So Rav Yosef interprets Rabbi Lamal in this way because Asya Yazigzer Shava, it says Revia, Revia here, it says Revia with regard to the Tzatzoy of Moshe Rabbi Lamal. And there in Shmos at the very beginning it says Hosam B'nei Yisrael Paru Vayishu Tzuvayirbu. Again, we see the word Ravu, which means Revia, the same word Ravu here appears twice. That just like from Moshe, just like from B'nei Yisrael, we have Shishim Ribui. So too from Tzatzai Moshe, we're going to have Rabu Lamala, which means more than the shear of Klal Yisrael of Shishim Ribui. And here we turn to the Av Zayin Amid Beis. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. miyom shebara kadosh baruch es haolam, since creation lo haya adam shekro la kadosh baruch hu adon, who is the first person on the face of the earth to use the name of Aleph Dalid of Ado, and then a noy at the end to describe God, to explain or to emphasize the adnus, the mastery of HaKadosh Baruch. He's the master of the universe. He can accomplish anything. He owns the universe, as my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to say always, that God is Lashem Aretz, everything belongs to Him. Ad Sheba Avram, Avram was the first, Karo Adon, Shenemar, it says in Parshas Lech Lecha Vayomar, and Avram said Ado, and then Noi, Elokim Bameh Edak, Yerushan, is the first time, and the only time that that anyone up to that point, at least, had ever called Hashem Ado, and then Noi. So as Avram Avinu recognized the Adnus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this means that God has shilton, He has control over all the universe, over all the kochavim, the maldoz, the shemesh, yireach, everything. And man, therefore, cannot claim, well, he's going to, his mazel is this, and his mazel is that, he's going to be ashi, he's going to be an ani, and so forth and so on, because God is above the mazelos, and God could always tip the mazelos in one direction or the other. Avram was able to change his mazel. His mazel was that he shouldn't have children, and Hashem changed his mazel because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adon. He is the master over all the Marochos Shamayim, over all the celestial constellations up in Shamayim. And until Avram Avinu Bnei Adam believed that God created the earth and left the earth, Chas V'Shalom, he's no longer Mashgiach on what goes on in this lowly earth. He gave over the controls, the reins, to the Mareches HaShamayim, and now everything depends upon mazel. And Avraham Avinu taught us that every single person in this world comes under the Hashgacha, the Borei. God is the Adon al Kol HaMasim. He's in control of everything. Amar Rav. Rav says the following. Af Daniel Onana, even Daniel, when he raised his voice in Tefillah, can only expect that God would respond Ela Bishvil Avram in the Schus of Avram Shenemar V'yatosh Ma Elokeinu El Tfilas Avdecha V'el Tachnunov V'aer Panecha Al Mikdoshcha Shameim Leman, and again the word Ado, and then Noi. Now what was the reason that Daniel was mispalo for the building of the Beis HaMikdosh? The answer is Leman, Ado, and then Noi. And since he mentioned this name of God, and he starts by saying Atosh Ma Elokeinu, what he's really saying is Lemancha. So why does he say Shma Elokeinu, and he says Leman Ado, and then Noi? He should have said Lemancha, that build the Beis HaMikdash for your great, the sake of your great name. Ella, but rather Daniel asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his prayers be accepted, Leman Avram Shekaracha Adon, who called you by the name Adon. And this is how and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to the prayers, hearkened to the prayers of Daniel. The Gemara now brings another statement of Rav Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Minayin She'ein Meratzen Lo Li'odam V'Shas Kaso. We're not exactly sure why the Gemara is repeating what we already know before. We already had this Maimar. And Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, as a matter of fact. But maybe he heard this statement, this principle from two of his Rebbeim, both from Rabbi Yossi and from Shimon bar Yochai. And the Gemara organizes it earlier in the name, in amongst those statements in the name of Rav Yossi, and here in the name of the statements of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Don't try to pacify a person during his anger, his period of anger, when he's angry. Shenemar, it says, Pana yelechu vanichosi loch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, wait, ad yavar zam, until the anger passes, the panim shel zam, the shasakas, and then, and only then, v'eschacha, Nachas Ruach Lamalos Kol Mishal Secha, I will respond and hearken to your prayers. Omer Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shimbar Yochan Yom Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Salomo Lo Hoya Odom Shehoda LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ad Shebasa Leav Odasa, the first person to sing the praises of God and express gratitude was Leah Shenemar Hapam Odes Hashem when she gave birth to Yehuda. And there are many discussions here about why she broke out in this song of praise and thanksgiving Dafka when she gave birth to Yehuda. It could be that Yehuda represents the most spiritual element of all the children that came until now, something that's very unique about Yehuda and his Malchus, and for that she felt that she was getting another bias. There were three Batim and she got the three Batim. She got Kohuna, she got Leviah, she got Malchus, and she got Torah. Now, what's mentioned here in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is a little bit about the name Yehuda, but first the Gemara wants to talk about the name Reuven. Why did Leah call her first son Reuven? Amar Rav Lazar, Sha'amro Leah Reu ma ben bni leben chami, this is famous for Rashi al Chumash, and understand the difference between my Reuven, my son, and Esav's son. The Ilu ben Chami, Esav, who's called ben Chami, the son of my father-in-law of Yitzchak, Afal gav midaite zavnei lebachirusa, even though in his own will he sold the Bechor to Yaakov, dechsiv ayim kars Bechor soli Yaakov, nevertheless, when Esav responds to Yaakov having taken the Bechora, Vayistom Esav es Yaakov al Bechora, al Bracha Sherbercho Aviv, Vayom Esav Beliba Yikru Yivei Evel Aviv Harga es Yaakov Achi. And further it says, Uksiv Vayomer Achi Karashmo Yaakov Ayakveni Zepamayim es Bechorasi Lokach. Over and over again he complains, Esav, about the fact that Kaviyochel Yaakov took the Bechora with Mirma, with trickery. But in the case of Reuven, Afa Gavdi Ol Dal Korche Shakli Yosef Berchos LeBechirusu, he took the Bechora away from Reuven, and that will have in this week's Parshin Vayechi Tichsiv that Bnei, that Reuven, that, excuse me, that Ephraim Kenasha ki Reuven v'Shimon Yuli, that they would get the double portion. And the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, Bnei Reuven b'char Yisrael ki hu ha-b'char u'b'chalo yitzuei aviv nitna b'choroso livnei Yosef ben Yisrael. And yet, what is the response of Reuven to having, so to speak, forfeited the b'chora? Is afilu hachi lo ikanabe, he doesn't get jealous of Yosef, but the Ksiv, on the contrary, at the parasha of Bechirus Yosef, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzileu Miyodam, and Reuven says, Lo nakenu nofesh, he comes to the forefront and he battles on behalf of his brother Yosef instead of holding some sort of grudge as Esav did against his brother Yaakov. Now again, there's a lot to talk about here about Reuven in the parasha of Bechirus Yosef. Did he really actually save his brother Yosef? At least he tried to, and that's where his heart was, that was his intention. The giving of the Bechora to Yosef was actually something that, according to this Gemara, took place before Mechiras Yosef, at the moment that Reuven was Mechal Yitzui Aviv. And this is reflected in the Gemara Baba Basra, Kufchav Gimel, Yaakov gave the Bechora to Yosef, and that is because Reuven lost his rights. Yosef had, on the contrary, rights to the Bechor because he would sustain the house of Jacob in Mitzrayim. Now we go on to a statement about Rus HaMoaviah and her name. My Rus, what is the meaning of the name Rus? The Gemara is analyzing the meaning of names. So what about Rus? And what the Gemara wants to clarify is that when a ger is miskaya, usually after gerus he or she changes his name or her name, and yet Rus never changed her name after gerus. There must have been something special about that name that she wanted to take with her even after she became Jewish. Amar Rav Yochanan, Shezachsa, Rus had the special merit for Yotza Mimenu, Mimenu David, Sherivahu La Kodesh Baruch Hu Beshiros Vitishpachos. So the word Rus is indicative of David, Sherivahu, which so to speak it means he satiated God, so to speak, Kaviyachal, with Shiros Vitishpachos. And when you think about it, it's unbelievable that David HaMelech, whose life was so overwhelmed by so many redifos, so many problems, so many adversaries, and yet somehow he was able to author all of Sefer Tehillim. It's mamish mind-boggling. Each pasuk in Sefer Tehillim is a poem unto itself. Minolan Dishma Garim. Now the Gemara formulates a principle that the name of a person actually has an impact on the personality of a person. And what's the source for this? Omer Rabbi Loza, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, the Omer Kura, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Lechu chazu mefalos Hashem asher som shemos ba'aretz. Actually, the Pasuk says shamos ba'aretz. Look at God doing shamos, and God, so to speak, could destroy the world, but altikri shamos, which means shmama, destruction, but rather read it as shemos, if you change the vowels. And now it means lechuru es pu'ulos Hashem ha'asidos. You can see what's future, what's down the line, things that are coming upon man based on his name. And based on his name, you could tell what's going to happen. There's a whole discussion here in the Marsha about the name Rus and the name of the book of Rus. Why is the book called Rus and not Nami? After all, she was really the main person in the book. I mean, she was the one who raised Rus, so to speak. And he says that Rabbi Yochanan is really answering this question, that the name Rus is the name of the Sefer, because from Rus David came out, Sheriva Kodesh Baruch Hu Beshiros Tishbachos. That's the ultimate purpose of everything. And David HaMelech, as we said before, penned this great work called Tehillim of Shiros V'Tishbachos. We had the Gemara earlier in this perek that David would wake up in the middle of the night to sing the Shiros V'Tishbachos. That's probably what the Gemara has in mind, that he would pen Tehillim. And even though man is given freedom of choice to choose between good and evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees in the Asid what man will ultimately choose, and that is hinted at inherent in his name. And the Mishnah says in Avos Paragimel HaKol Tzafui Varashus Nesuda, that even though God knows what's going to happen, man is still granted control and freedom to make his decisions. Kol Echad Yochol Livchar Bameshi Yasa O Letov O Lera. So the name of a person is not going to deny him his freedom of choice. V'yomer Rav Yochanan Bishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Koshet Tarbus Ra'ah B'tov Beiso Shel Adam. One of the most awful things, terribly catastrophic, is when one of the members of the household who was raised in that household for good, yet his hanhaga, his behavior is evil. We would say in modern parlance, he went off the path, he went off the derech. When a person is born, his parents give him a name and they expect that he'll rise up to live up to that name, but if he disappoints them, there's nothing like that suffering, that anguish of disappointment when he never goes the wrong way. And it's even worse, Yosef Milchemes Gog Umago, which of course is going to be very painful and anguish-ridden. Shenemar, because when it comes to David, and he has to run away from Avshalom, who rebels against him, and he pens, Mizmar le David bebarachom ibn Avshalom b'no. This is the third chapter of Tehillim. David is on the flee, he's a fugitive from his own son Avshalom, who rose up against him, Uksiv Basrei. And it says in the very next pasuk, Hashem mar rabu tzaroi, ravim komim olai. The pain is so great that my son Avshalom has arisen against me in rebellion. He became my enemy. Dover Zeh, says David, is such a ribui tzaros, it's so intense, it's indescribable. Ve'ilu, when he David HaMelech, in a different chapter, the second chapter, Tilim by Melchemes Gog Umagov, it says, Lama Rogshu Goyim Le'umim Yegu Rik. What is the purpose of the Goyim that are gathering together to battle? Why are they speaking about victory in Melchama? These are dvarim reikim. These are meaningless things. But for ilu, but to use the term marabu tsarai with regard to gogu magog, loksiv, Dovin Amel doesn't use those terms to describe the great suffering at the time of the Melchemes gogu magog. It means it was lesser, it was kalabienov vis-a-vis Avshalom and his rebellion. The pasuk says mizmar leDovin v'barcho b'nei Avshalom b'no. So Gemara wants to know, Mizmar LeDavid, is that really a song? He's running away from his son, he's in a state of anguish, running away from an adversary, his own son rebelled. Kino LeDavid Mibayle, it should have been a lamentation, not a Mizmar, not a song. Amar Avshim Ben Avishalom, Mashal Lemad Avredome, how should we understand this? It should be LeAdam Shayatzal of Shtarchov, a person owed a certain very serious sum of money, and he doesn't know where he's going to get the money to pay it back. Kodem Shepro, before he pays back, he's very sad, he's worried, he's in a state of anxiety. How is he going to pay back his loan? Liachas Shepro Samea, but once he pays it back, somehow he succeeded in gathering together the funds. He's in a state of joy, of ecstasy. Af Kain David, the same thing in the Nimshal. Kevan Shamalah Kodesh Baruch Hu, in this apostle in the 12th chapter, Shmuel Beis Hinani, Mekim Alecha Ra'ami Beisecha, for telling the merit of Avshalom, his own son, Hayatzev, David HaMelech was very sad. Omar Shema, Eved Omamzerhu, perhaps this person who will rise up from amongst my household and will rebel against me will be an Eved or a Mamzer. Delochayis Aleh, and he will not have any compassion. But Kevin Dechaza, when he saw it was his own son Avshalom, and that's how this prophecy would be fulfilled, Samach, he felt Sameach because he knew that Avshalom at the end, as a son, would have compassion on him. Mishum Hachi Omar Mizmar, and therefore the word Mizmar instead of the word Kina, instead of lamentation. Yom Rav Yochanan, further Bishum Rav Shimba Yochai, Mutal is Goros B'Rishoyim B'Olam Hazeh. We can get into altercations and challenge Rishoyim in this world. We're going to see soon other opinions about this, but this is the opinion of Rav Shimba Yochai. You're allowed to go into a riv against Rishoyim Shenemar, Apostle Mishle, Ozvei, Sora, Yehalalu, Rasha, Vishomrei, Torah, Yizgarubam. Yizgarubam means they would instigate battles against the Rishayim, the Ozvei HaTorah, those who forsake the Torah, and anger them. Tanya Nami Hochi of Bryson that would support this view. Rabbi Dostoy, Rabbi Mason Omer, Muto, Lizgaros, Bershoim, Biolmazet. We're allowed to fight against them and instigate against them. Shenemar, Ozvei Torah Yahalu Rasha V'yim L'shachach L'chashcha Adam B'yaznecha Lomar L'hakshos V'aksiv. But what about the pasuk in Tehillim that says Al Tischar B'mereim Al Tekane V'yosei Avla, which means that a person should not begin to be miskote, to fight up against a Rasha. So if a person will bring forward and quote this pasuk, and Marley, you should say to him, no, you're misunderstanding the pasuk, Mishalibo Nokfo. If a person is afraid because he has averos, then Omer Cain, then he should be afraid to stand up against the Rishoyim. But what the pasuk means here, in truth, Ella, when it says Tischar, it's a his avas lamasav. It's a ratzon. A person has a will and a desire to stand up for what's right and fight against the evildoers. Now, he gives a twist, a new interpretation of al tischar b'mereim. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't instigate against the mereim, these evildoers, but rather it means you shouldn't imitate them. And you shouldn't have a desire to follow in their paths and be like them. Al tischar b'mereim means al tisave, don't have a desire to behave like the Rishayim. It looks like they're on easy street, they're having a blast. Leos kimereim, to be like them. And then it means Al Takani Biose Avla, don't be jealous of those who are evildoers, Leos Ka Ose Avla, to imitate them. And the Brisa brings another pasuk now to indicate that this is the true interpretation. The Omer, and the pasuk says in Mishlei Chof Gimel, Al Yikane Libcha B'chataim, don't have any jealousy of the evildoers, the sinners, Ki Im B'yiras Hashem Kol Yom, but rather you should dedicate yourself to the fear of God all the day. So Al Yikane Libcha B'chataim, it's a warning, and you should not imitate and be jealous of the chotim. However, there may be a possibility that you could have interpreted it as Al Yikani means don't fight a battle, is kotit demrishayim. But ki im biyiras Hashem kol ayom, the end of the pasuk says that you should be involved in yiras Hashem. So Al Yikani libcha b'chatoim lasos kemaseihem. And all this is against Rabbi Yitzchak. Eini, is this real true? Va'amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Imra Isa Rasha, Shasham Esachekeslo. If you see that a Rasha is living on wealth and everything's going well for him, Hashem Esachekeslo, he's got an hour of, hour means a period of time of Hatzlacha. Altis Garabo, don't start up with him. God is protecting the Rasha. You don't want to get near him. It's dangerous. Shenemar, based on a pasuk in Tilim Perek Yud, Yachilu Derachav Bechol Eis, you should always be afraid at any time of the Rishoyim. So that's Rabbi Yitzchak's interpretation. V'lo Od, and furthermore, Ella Shezoche B'din, that during this period of time when God bestows Hatzlacha and success upon the Rasha, you should know that up in Shemayim, if there's a judgment, he, the Rasha, will succeed. Shenemar, Morom Mishpatecha Minegdo, that the Peronios and the Surim that should, that are appropriate for this Rasha, will be Kinegdo, will be Mesulakim, they'll be removed, they'll be put into deep freeze. Rachok Mimenu, and he won't suffer. V'lo'od el sharoa bitzarov, he will see the defeat of all his enemies. Shenemar kol tzorov yofiach lahem, and through this nefichaso, he's pushing away all his tzorov, all his adversaries. In the same way that marchikim kash al yedei neficha, if you have a straw, you blow on it and it goes very far. But we see from this pasuk that we should not start up with Rishayim. They are protected. They have a Shah Mesachekeslo. And that seems to contradict Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Shemutar Lizgaros Birishayim. And the Gemara gives two answers. The first answer is Lokasha Hab Emili Didei Hab Emili Deshmaya. And Ibois Ema Hav Hab Emili Deshmaya Lokasha Barosha Shasha Mesachekeslo Hab Barosha She'en Hasha Mesachekeslo. And B'li Neder, in the next year, we'll try to see the other answers to this reconciliation. These two answers have to be understood. We'll have to study them. There's Mili Didei. There's something that's relevant to the Rosh himself. And then there's Mili Dishmaya, when it's a matter of principle for the divine being, for Shem Kiddush Hashem. That's when Rav Shimon bar Yochai permits us, Lizgaros B'Rishoyim, to get up and fight for the sake of Kvod Shamayim against the Rishoyim. And the second answer was, even B'Mila D'Shmaya, it depends on what the hour of the day is, so to speak. What situation, what matzav is the Rosh? If he's in a situation where we see that he's being matzliach, it's Shah Mesachekeslo, don't go near him, even in B'Mila D'Shmaya. But if he's a Rasha, she'ein Hashem Mesachekeslo, regular Rasha, then we don't see his great Hatzlacha, then you're allowed to be Mizgaralo, but only in Mila D'Shmaya, according to the second answer. And then the third answer, which Amir Tzashem will study, Ibois Ema Hava B'Rasha Shasham Mesachekeslo Lokasha B'Tzadik Gomur V'Ha B'Tzadik She'eino Gomur, which means, according to the third pshat, the only way you could fight up against the Rasha and challenge him and anger him and confront him is only if you fit this category of a tzaddik gamur. And that, B'li Neder, we'll be able to understand more. Behemshech, B'li Neder, u'baratzon Hashem.